paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk.
You know that song, You'll Never Walk Alone, one of my favorites for so many years, aside from its role in the show Carousel and all of that. It's, of course, always identified with Jerry Lewis and how he used to close his telethons. But it's also identified with a local organization that does such fine work for women and men in the world of dealing with breast cancer, and what an important organization it is. It's called a Silver Lining Foundation. You're probably familiar with it, but if you are not, you're going to be. And I want you to meet the founder, queen of it all, Dr. Sandy Goldberg, such a familiar face to us from television and other places. She indeed is the founder of a Silver Lining Foundation.org is the website. Dr. Sandy, welcome, and thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure, Paul.
I watched you for years. Well, not too many years. You're young. But, you'd be there on NBC, just different places, doing your thing, talking about health. And of course, then comes this foundation, which you've devoted your life to, really, at this point. But let's just kind of take our listeners back a little bit. What led you to create a Silver Lining Foundation? And part of it has to do with your own story.
It certainly does. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2000. And I learned that I lived in a very protected world. You know, the wagons were circled around me. I had access to everything that I needed. Now, granted, my treatment went on for some time, and I ended up going to a meeting of the American Cancer Society with my oncologist. And being media-oriented, as you are, I asked, what was their outreach in the community? And long story short, I ended up creating a call-in cable show with them. And that changed my life because people were calling in. I was the host. There were experts in the field. And as you know, what happens with shows, Paul, is that call-in shows, particularly that the calls start really to exceed the time of the show.
And you start to hear stories and people's personal stories that brings things so close to home, like your own.
Oh, they do. And people were talking to me, and I realized that they were using our phone, our show, as their primary care physician. I would make suggestions from my uber-protected world, and I realized that people felt they weren't worthy because they had no money and they had no insurance. Made me sick, because I guess, you know, for many of us, we just sort of glide through life, and especially back then, you know, I thought everyone had access to what I did. I learned, no, not the case.
And, of course, as you say this, I mean, this is actually a very relevant conversation in today's political climate, which we'll touch on, but not quite yet, because I think women and men have to wake up daily wondering what their health care will be and what is going to be available for them in the coming weeks, months, and years. But let's go back to your creating the foundation. So you saw the need. And, of course, when I hear and first heard the name Silver Lining, a Silver Lining Foundation, obviously I think of just the traditional sort of meaning of that, which is in every cloud, in every dark day, there is a silver lining. Am I right to think that that's kind of what was guiding you there in naming this?
Well, you know, you nailed it on multiple perspectives, actually. But it really harkens back to what is the foundation of our foundation, which is my late mother's philosophy. That's what we're based on. My parents were immigrants. You know, my father was always asking my mother, why is he paying everybody's rent, and on like that. My mother would always say, we're all family. We have to help each other through the tough times. And when people would come to her, I would come to her to complain. She would say there's always a silver lining.
Ah.
So the combination of the two, you know, there has to be something positive somewhere. And this is really what we strive toward in our foundation. is at least in this area of access to health care, we are able to do what I feel we should do, which is to basically level the playing field.
Talk to me a bit about when we think of the world of breast cancer, obviously most people would like to prevent it, to stay ahead of the game and know that they don't have it. And those who get diagnosed with it, they need help to address it and cure it and get rid of it. And a Silver Lining Foundation sort of takes people in that way from soup to nuts. And if I'm right about that, sort of start at the beginning in terms of dealing with women and men. You know, I used to just say women, and you've taught me that it's not, you know, and of course it's not just women. You really have to remember everybody's involved in this. But talk to me about the importance of detection and testing up front.
Well, there's a saying, and it's never been more true now than it is now. Early detection saves lives. With enhanced technology over the course of years now, as you know, Paul, I'm a survivor 17 years. And every April the 21st, I'm out there turning cartwheels and you know, and I am here. And
now, just so people who don't get that, why on April 21st?
Because that is my survivor anniversary.
Ah, okay.
And I feel that it's very important, frankly, to acknowledge that. But as I said, early detection saves lives. And why is that? The earlier an abnormality is identified, the faster it can be dealt with.
And to the contrary, the longer you wait and the further something has developed, I'm guessing the less of a chance there is, in many cases, to cure and to bring hope.
Well, statistically, it is a lot more difficult to deal with. And the issue in terms of breast cancer and access to testing is regular testing. And knowing, you know, your family history is, of course, very helpful. And one thing that I do want to stress, Paul, and you and I have talked about that, is that you'll hear periodically, and your listeners will hear periodically, this is the way to prevent breast cancer. You can't prevent breast cancer. What you can do is lower your risk factors. Mm. And this is where a healthy lifestyle is concerned, certainly watching what you eat, how you eat, alcohol, smoking, et cetera, getting some exercise. And then on the other hand, that there are some factors that we can't change. We can't change our gender, and we can't change our age, and we can't change our family history.
Yeah, genetics. I mean, some of this is just plain genetics.
Some of it is. Some of it. And with enhanced technology. And I think about it because I was diagnosed 17 years ago, and I think about the difference between what is going on now from a scientific, from a technology, from a testing standpoint. It's almost like the dark ages to what we have available to us now.
Mm.
And so that's really crucial.
And by the way, I want to clear up one point, and then I want to get to exactly what is available to us. But again, the men-women thing. How much at risk are men in the world of breast cancer? Because I think a lot of men, they see it as a woman's disease and illness, and that's just not right.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, do women get breast cancer much, much, much more than men? Yes. This year alone in the United States, something like 230,000 women will be diagnosed, something like 2,700 men. That may not seem like a lot, but that's almost double from what it was when we first started our breast health testing program at a Silver Lining Foundation.
Meaning breast cancer in men is growing, or you're detecting more of it?
It's going up.
And what's the reason for that? The same issues, the lifestyle and those issues?
You know, I wish I could answer that 100%, but, you know, one should certainly take into account the lifestyle. You know, I don't know really how to answer that.
Yeah. I mean, it just is what it is.
You know, what's going on now in terms of the atmosphere, some other in terms of what's going on in the air, in terms of the additives of food. I don't know how relevant those are.
And a Silver Lining Foundation itself, as I spent a lot of time on your website and taking a look, and I looked at your mission and how beautiful it is, because you talk about, there's just some of the word choices that you make, and obviously this is all strategic and conscious. You talk about ensuring dignified, respectful, and equal access. I mean, you could have just said equal access, but I was really struck by those kinds of words, dignified and respectful. And I have to ask you, why did you feel the need to include those kinds of words? As beautiful as they are, something led you to do that.
It did. It did, because I don't think that people are treated like human beings anymore. I really don't. And this is increasingly more evident as time goes on. We're treated like numbers. Many times we feel that we're just taking up somebody's time. We're looking down at our phones. We're not communicating. We don't feel that we matter. And in this world, especially with the individuals that we work with here at a Silver Lining Foundation in our breast health testing program, is that people truly feel that they don't matter. I mean, can you imagine, Paul, having to pick up the phone and call a stranger for help because you can't afford a test that will say whether or not you have something that is life-threatening or not?
Wow.
And I feel that everybody, you know, and I was trained by this, by my mother and by my father. We're all family. We're all family. We have to take care of each other.
And we also have to be educated. That's also part of the mission, is to ensure a quality cancer education. And then we want to get to the services. But it all starts with getting educated about what we've been talking about, or what the signs are, the symptoms. Isn't the problem with breast cancer is that, other than detection and taking the mammograms and the tests for it, there aren't a lot of symptoms, are there?
Well, there are some symptoms, for sure. Regular breast health testing, or regular self-examination, rather, is important on a regular mm-hmm. basis.
Oh, and so feeling a lump would be, I guess when I say symptom, I meant, you know, it's coughing and you know, those kinds of things. Is any of that indicative?
Again, that's a very hard question to answer, because people think that breast cancer is breast cancer, and there are multiple forms of breast cancer. Wow. That's something to remember. But also, one of the most important things, frankly, is self-examination, because you know your body better than anybody else does. And if there's a change and you're doing regular self-examinations, you know. And that right there, I would go and I would get tested. That for sure.
And do men do the same kind of examination as women do around the breast area?
I think that men should. Do they? In all likelihood, probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. But it is, if something is not right, say in men, the size of the breast is changing. Maybe there's some leakage from the nipple, as an example. Maybe the nipple is changing color. I mean, this is the time to go to a health professional and get it addressed. And in terms, and I think what scares a lot of people, Paul, and certainly when we talk about going in for a mammogram and education, is the aspect, I think, that many people go in with the idea they're going to find something. They're going to find something.
We're afraid. We're afraid to go to the doctors for all sorts of reasons.
Well, I wish that I could disagree with you. But the important thing is to go in, and statistically, in all likelihood, everything should be okay. Should be. And if not, follow-up testing that's indicated should be done, diagnostic testing, should be done immediately. And that's the important thing about what we do at a Silver Lining Foundation's breast health testing program. We call it Buy a Mom a Mammogram.
Yeah.
But it's so much more. And as you said, what we do is we fund literally soup to nuts breast health testing, screening mammograms, and then sort of going up the food chain diagnostics, ultrasounds, breast MRI, biopsy, and all for free.
Now, people come, what you have is the Evelyn Goldberg Mammography Center, right?
Yeah, that's over at the University of Illinois Medical Center.
Right. You know, so when you say everything is free, I'm just so people understand, do they need to come to you? Are you working with them to get free testing if they don't live in the area or they're elsewhere?
Anybody who is uninsured or underinsured, we say basically in the greater Chicagoland, Elgin, and Rockford area, although I have often said, if you can get to us, we'll help you. All they need to do is pick up the phone and call us at a Silver Lining Foundation here in Chicago. That's all they need to do. We ask very, very few questions. Very few.
And part of that is, am I connecting now properly to the Survive to Thrive program for men and women?
You know, and I'm very glad you brought that up, Paul, because everything we've done at a Silver Lining Foundation is sort of in response to a need. As you well know, my husband and I started a Silver Lining at our kitchen table almost 15 years ago with one check. And we were going to do resource information and outreach, which I think is very important. There's an educational component, you know, access to resources. And then we started our mammography program. And we were just going to do regular mammograms. And then we discovered lots of people needed diagnostic follow-up. So we added that. We started with one hospital, the University of Illinois Medical Center. We now fund 15 partner hospitals.
Wow.
Then we added an educational component, going in dealing with young people, young women particularly, ages 15 through 18, because literally they are our voice for the future. And not only do they learn about advocacy and their own breast health, they take that information to their homes and communities. And then we discovered that individuals, that women who had been diagnosed with breast cancer, who in some cases had some form of insurance, we call that underinsured, mm-hmm. were unable to access the type of testing that they as survivors needed. A quote from one of the ladies that called us that really was the genesis of starting Survive to Thrive. She called up and she said, I'm a breast cancer survivor. And I said, welcome to the club, because it is a club. She said, I have some insurance. I said, that's excellent. She said, but all my insurance will cover is a regular screening mammogram, and I don't have a breast. What can I do?
Mm.
Now, when you talk about what's going on in the world today, which you alluded to before, this is what people are coming up against. And this is what we endeavor really to even out.
And it's the scary part of watching these attempts to change the healthcare system. I'm not getting political about whether people should like the Affordable Health Care Act or the replacement that is getting discussed. But the bottom line is you have to make sure that this kind of coverage, or as you say, under insurance, when people have these situations, sometimes before Obamacare, they were shocked when all of a sudden, sorry, your coverage for the year ran out. Your coverage for your life ran out. And that went away with Obamacare.
I think that I'm not going to agree with you 100%.
Okay.
I'm not going to disagree with you 100%. I will say that the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, has been a blessing for many, many, many people, many people. However, there are many, equally as many people, if not more, who do not qualify or who have done the right thing and have purchased insurance and then discovered that, A, they have a $6,500 deductible, so whatever kind of insurance they got isn't going to do them a damn bit of good.
Right.
Or that the co-pays are so high that
right.
they can't afford that. So that is why, actually, initially, we only funded individuals who had no insurance. Now, we take into account this underinsured component. And that's what's important. I tell people, insurance is the most wonderful thing in the world. Make sure you know what you're signing up for.
Right. And that's why people have to be so concerned about their, you know, it's, as I heard, it was at a dinner, and as I heard a speaker say last week, he said, we are all one illness away from a pre-existing condition.
There you go.
We've sort of talked about many of the programs you offer, but I wanted to be explicit about one that you, I think you've alluded to, but you didn't say it, and it's the Keep Abreast program for young women. You've talked about young women and all that, but I wanted to make it a tie for people to go to your website, and they come across the Keep Abreast program.
That's the most spectacular program. It was a program that we started. It is, again, designed, theoretically speaking, for young women ages 15 through 18 or 19. And what it is a multimedia presentation by a trained survivor to young women who need to know information, certainly on what is the proper way of doing a breast self-examination. We show a video that's a real video. It's not clouds. It's not sticks. It's not cartoons. It's young women actually doing breast self-examination. And in this environment of Keep Abreast, young women are encouraged to ask whatever questions they want to. We dispel a lot of the myths concerning underwear or bras, as an example. Can that
right.
cause breast cancer? Deodorant, hair dye, any of those situations that come in. Young women who are perhaps a bit shy and don't want to talk, we have cards there so that the moderator, the presenter, can read those questions anonymously, as it were, and answer that. So what this program does, is certainly inform young women about how to become advocates for their own health, but also to serve basically as educational and cultural guides in their homes and in their communities. And I can't tell you how many times we have gotten phone calls from adult women who've said, my daughter, my aunt, my granddaughter, whatever, was at this class, and she's driving me nuts to get a mammogram. And this is obviously a component of what we had hoped
right.
for.
Right.
And we also ended up, and we do presentations now concurrently for young women and adult women.
So important. We have just a moment left, and there are events that happen annually, and I'm less concerned about getting the dates out on this right now because I want to send people to the website because these are annual events, and
right.
the date that I say now is not going to be the date next year, and I want people to sort of check on this. I'm going to say the date, but it's more about understanding what some of these key annual events are because people really want to play a role in this. This year, coming up on June 17th, and some date similar to that next year, is going to be the 15th annual Tasting Stars over at the DIRTT, Environmental Solutions, on Well Street. And it's a chance to do some champagne tasting.
It certainly is champagne tasting, some really great food, silent auction. Someone I happen to know is doing a live auction as well. I believe I'm talking to him.
You are. I'm happy to serve as your sort of celebrity auctioneer that night for some of those pieces. Looking forward to it.
And I cannot tell you how we appreciate your support.
Well, you do important work. I want to mention the golf outing on July 14th. Again, next year might be a different date, but every year, this year, the 13th annual golf outing.
And then we have our 13th annual in October again, and that is always the first week or the first Saturday of October.
The 7th this year.
Is our annual gala. We call that a sterling event. And then in the spring of each year, we have what is called the Glitz and Glamour Fashion Show.
Right.
And proceeds from these events support a Silver Lining Foundation, or the programs of the Silver Lining Foundation, in particular our mammography program or our breast health program. And our gala and our fashion show are underwritten. So 100% of the funds raised go directly to our programs.
I want to encourage people to check out these events, the work that you do, support the work that you do. So it's incredibly important. And I'll look forward to seeing you at the champagne tasting, and hopefully listeners will come join us. You can find information again on the website, which is asilverliningfoundation.org. Don't forget the word asilverliningfoundation.org. Dr. Sandy Goldberg, I've admired you for many years, and as I've gotten to know you, I now realize I was certainly justified in that admiration for all the work that you do, and I congratulate you, and I thank you, and I wish you all the best in continuing this important work.
And thank you so very much, Paul, and your support means more to me than you will ever know because, as you admire me, I more than admire you.
Well, thank you. Our Mutual Admiration Society, I will see you soon, talk to you soon, and again, I encourage everybody to check out asilverliningfoundation.org. Thank you, Dr. Sandy Goldberg.
Give me a hand, show me the door. I cannot stand to wait anymore. Somebody said, be what you be. We could be old and cold and dead on the sea. But I love you more than words can say.
Well, if you are a fan of television as I am, although young people don't seem to have TVs this day, what is wrong with that? Anyway, you know that music. It's the theme from the great show Community, NBC show, initially called Community. And that's when I, aside from loving the show and loving everybody in it, there was one particular character in there, one particular comedian actor. I just kind of like love this guy. And so fortunately, he's involved in a Chicago event coming up. So I said, please come join me for the podcast. And he did. And he is, and it's Danny Pudi. And if you watch Community or you see movies or you watch other movies and TV, you know exactly who I'm talking about, and you're probably as huge a fan as I am. Danny, welcome to the podcast for WGN. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited. Thank you so much.
So people may not know, but you're a Chicago guy.
Yes. Yeah. Was born in Chicago. My mom, my dad, my pretty much entire family all live in and around Chicago, and spent a lot of time there every Christmas. I'm going to be back there, in June for this comedy festival, but also just to kind of hang out with the fam when it's nice out. I'm very excited.
Are they in the city proper or a suburb somewhere?
My mom and my dad are both in the city proper, my brother as well. We have some family in some of the nearby suburbs as well. So,
I love it.
That's Yeah, we're kind of all over the place.
And
yeah.
The real Chicago component, if I have this right, see, last time I interviewed you, we were together at the Second City 50th anniversary. I didn't do the kind of homework I did around this time. Is it true, like, your mom's Polish and you speak Polish?
I do. Naprawdę, kolega. Cześć. Moje imię jest Daniel.
Oh, dzień dobry.
Dzień dobry. Jak tam wszystko?
Let's do the... We're going to do the...
Są chmury, sorry.
We're doing the rest of this interview in Polish, if our listeners don't mind.
Zobaczymy. Okay. Ile mamy czas.
Wait a minute. We better say we're kidding before they start turning on the turn, because if they don't speak Polish, we're going to lose them.
Żartujemy.
I love it. Well, as I said, I love your work. And by the way, you've got a couple of kids, and let's just give a little plug for the animation thing. You did a voice because you wanted to finally do something in your life your kids could watch.
I figure I spent a lot of time doing inappropriate humor.
Yes.
In my life. It's about time so I could do something that my kids could watch. Yeah, I was just a voice in some Smurfs movie. I was Brainy Smurf, and I'm Huey Duck in the reboot of DuckTales coming out in August on Disney. So. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a really fun, sort of nostalgic cartoon for kids. But yeah, it'll be probably the first thing I could kind of watch with my kids. I have twin 5-year-olds who are amazing, and it's going to be fun. So yeah, I'm looking forward to finally sharing some of my work with them.
I love it. Now we're all going to see the previews, obviously, of the Duck movie when it comes out. But are you allowed to give us just a quick moment of what Huey Duck sounds like?
Well, it's pretty much me, just excited.
Oh, okay.
Huey Duck loves his Junior Woodchuck guidebook. Yeah, that's like his Bible.
Oh, so you're not giving us any of the Donald Duck kind of sound then?
No, this is pretty much me with feathers.
I love it. Well, I've always thought you had feathers, so it works for me.
Thanks.
Danny, let's talk about what really brings you to me, except our long-lasting friendship, and that is Second City having its third annual NBC Second City Breakout Comedy Festival,
right.
June 8th through the 10th in Chicago. It goes on at Second City. You're not doing this alone, though you are one of the hosts of it. So tell folks what this is all about, especially lovers of comedy, which we all are.
Yeah, so it's the Breakout Comedy Festival. It's the third year in a row they've had this festival, co-sponsored by NBC. And, you know, for me, a big reason for my move to Los Angeles was because of Second City. Back in 2005, I was part of a showcase that was co-sponsored by NBC. It was a diversity showcase for performers at the Second City. And I was invited to perform by Deanna Griffin, who invited me to host this event. It led to me kind of coming out to Los Angeles, being in a showcase here, sponsored by NBC, and eventually kind of leading to my first TV credit. So it gave me a nice little kickstart, and I'm hoping this kind of event does the same thing for more up-and-coming young comedians. So my friend Parvesh Chhina and I, who's an awesome actor, also from Chicago and comedian, we're going to be co-hosting this event and looking back at sort of the place where both of us kind of got started. At the same time, hoping to help discover some new voices coming out of Chicago.
And what's great is this event, which is June 8th to 10th, this is not, I want people to understand, this isn't a just go one night because you're going to see the show every night. In fact, you're actually hosting, if I have it right, you're doing the Friday night.
That's correct.
June 9th, mm-hmm. And other folks doing the day before, the day after. But every night, it's different comedians. I mean, there's every reason to go all three nights because you're going to see different people.
Yes, there's another comedian called Chris Redd is very funny, Ramon Rivas. There's like a lot of different comedians, a lot of different types of comedians as well, and even some kind of alternative comedy as well. So I think it's going to be kind of they're calling it a smorgasbord, which is really appealing to me as a Polish American as well.
Does it come with food?
I hope so. If not, there's plenty of good restaurants in Old Town. But it is, yeah, it's all these emerging stand-up, sketch, improv, comedy over three nights. And I think there's going to be something for everyone. Like I said, it's all about emerging voices, diverse voices. And it's something that really helped inspire and kind of get me and kickstarted my career.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a great place to sort of discover some new voices. And it'd be great to have people come out and support.
Now, I'm just curious about this. For the night that you're doing it on Friday night, some of the folks who will mm-hmm. be with you, L.A. comedian, stand-up NBC alumni, Aisha Alpha, Sam Ike from Boston, Second City main stagers, Martin Morrow and Irene too. She's out of San Francisco. Did you lend a hand in terms of saying, these are some of my friends and the folks I love, I want them on my night? Or did they just go, Danny, guess what? Here's who you get.
The second thing you said.
Okay.
But at the same time, I know that some of these people, and they're all hilarious and amazing comedians. And I know Deanna really works hard, and Anthony LeBlanc, at putting together an ensemble and a group of performers that are kind of like all have a different skill sets, different styles. So I think it's going to be really fun and interesting. It's not a typical comedy show. There's really kind of all these voices that are very different, and I think more reflective of sort of kind of what's happening right now in the world. So,
right. So we can expect, really, I guess, some political humor is going to show up, I imagine.
Probably some political stuff, but also probably just some voices that you haven't heard before, which I think is kind of the wonderful thing about this, is that it's about discovering people who maybe don't fit into sort of traditional, platforms. And I think it's kind of celebrating all the unique voices and giving people a chance to try stuff. So it's got an experimental, tone. And at the same time, it's going to be funny. It's just going to be straight up funny. So I'm excited for people just to come out. If they love comedy, you're going to love it. And at the same time, you'll probably see some stuff that you haven't seen before, which I think is really cool.
Oh, you always want to see new stuff. You yourself are a graduate of Second City, right? You studied there.
I did. Yeah. I completed the conservatory back in 2005. And then I started performing with a group called Stir Friday Night that's still going strong in Chicago, Asian American comedians. And yeah, like I said, it really, Chicago was the place where I really started kind of trying to find my voice and figure out that, you know what, I don't have the skill set to be a doctor, which, you know, disappointed my family. It's time to start doing something else in my life.
Well, but I'm sure they were thrilled. Am I right? I remember when I talked to Steve Carell, he had been a mailman, and he was like shocked that I knew that. But you were a recruiter for an executive search firm, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And technically, I'm still employed by D.W. Simpson and Company, the actuarial search firm. So
you're still trying to get a job for people?
It's yeah. Well, it's my fallback. You know,
good for you.
As an immigrant, you always got to have a fallback just in case.
I'm sure if you went there now, they go, "What the heck are you doing here, Danny? Get out of here." You've got enough going on. And then you also, am I right? Because when I think about, and I'm curious if this was a role model for you, but you were at Marquette, you were the winner of the Chris Farley Scholarship. Was Chris Farley sort of an idol of yours or somebody you looked up to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big inspiration for me. You know, I grew up watching Saturday Night Live and Monty Python, and Chris Farley in particular, his physical style of humor was always just so funny to me, and kind of just his spirit. He had such a great spirit on stage, you know, and I knew he went to Marquette, and they established this scholarship in his name after he passed away. And I was fortunate enough to get the scholarship. And at the same time, I really kind of wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. I knew I needed to complete college for family expectations, but also for myself. But at the same time, I was sort of discovering that I did want to perform, but I didn't know where and how I was going to do that.
Right.
And then I think with the scholarship, that kind of led me to explore sort of what Chris Farley did, you know, and which was Second City. He started at Second City before going on to Saturday Night Live, and that led me to take classes at Second City and kind of gave me a chance to sort of realize that, oh, you can actually study this. And, you know, it really kind of led me to my career. So he definitely was a huge inspiration for me.
Well, Danny, I'm a huge fan of yours. I just think you're great. You're just a standout for me. Whenever I'm watching anything you're in, whether the community or whatever show it is, there's this energy about you that I think is amazing. And I felt it when I first interviewed you. And that's why I asked for you when we were going to talk about this event. I did, oh, yeah. They offered all sorts of people. I really want to talk to Danny. And I see. I knew that we're going to speak Spanish later. Oh, no, wait, I meant that Polish. I mean. But I want people to know how to, because we're talking, and now we got to tell them how to go see you. So this is June 8th through 10th. And if you want to see Danny and tell him that you listen to us on the podcast and that you're a huge fan of mine, which is what he'd like to hear, you can go to Paul, I don't know the guy. UpComedyClub.com, UP, UpComedyClub.com. And, or I'm going to give a phone number, 312-662-4562. If you missed it, rewind. It's a podcast. You can rewind this, but I'll say it again. 312-662-4562, UpComedyClub.com. You'll see Danny on Friday night, June 9th, but you also want to go on June 8th and June 10th for different comedians. It's all going on at Up Comedy Club. It's at 230 West North Street. That's in Piper's Alley, right? We all know where that is. And you get to see Danny, and then Danny, you and I will go to a fireplace and have some ribs.
There we go on Second City Tap.
Totally. If I'm your guest, yes.
deal. Let's go. Let's
All right. And you, and by the way, if you're a fan of Danny's too, check out his website. Is it still DannyPudi.com?
DannyPudi.com, but I don't think I update it. I should update that one. It's been a couple of years. I would go to Twitter, at Danny Pudi, or, yeah, that's probably the best way.
All right. So we'll tweet you.
And that's great.
Danny, you're the best. Thank you so much. We encourage people to check it out June 8th through 10th, upcomedyclub.com. Go see Danny Pudi.
Let's go do it. Thank you, Paul. Thanks, everybody. Shut down.
Dziękuję.
Yes, colega.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.